Welcome to the Ted Brewer Show. This is your host, Ted Brewer, with my co-host, Austin Brewer, bringing you another exciting adventure today of a talk show. We're going to have some fun with this. Yesterday, we had so much news we simply couldn't cover because I kind of got on a little bit of a teaching session there as far as the dangers of pornography and what's going on as far as the world and who's really in charge of the world and what they're doing and how to fix a lot of it. So if you want to hear a pretty good show on all of that, that was yesterday's broadcast. And, of course, we have our 24-hour listen line. You guys can hear that anytime you want. 24 hours a day, you can hear the show. No need to try to tune in through the satellite bands. You can turn in right through your telephone if you'd like. And, Austin, good to have you with me again, buddy.
Yes, sir. It's good to be on here.
Now, I want to start off with Proverbs chapter 11, and I want to give a couple of verses out of that. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1, "The Lord abhors dishonest scales, but accurate weights are his delight. With pride comes... When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity." Now, the reason I want to share those particular verses with you today, I've got a friend of mine who's gotten himself involved in a business down in Mexico and put a bunch of his own personal money into it. And what's happened is, apparently he's been scammed, apparently he's got himself involved in a Ponzi scheme, and he's lost a lot of money. And the sad part about this is he didn't know this was happening. So the Bible tells us that we're pretty innocent in this world and that the world's people are a little smarter than we are and that we've got to learn how to be wise. Guys, be careful with your money. Be careful with your investments. And remember, if it sounds too good to be true, it's probably because it's too good to be true. Austin, what's your first story, buddy?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because the new article today talking about in Japan, basically everybody's starting to get real, real panicky in all the entire world now over the talk of these negative interest rates that are supposedly going to start being implemented sometime this year at bigger banks to smaller banks. Now they're saying that Japan's hardware stores over there, people are basically hoarding cash and their demand for safes has soared through the roof. Japan now is almost selling out of all of their safes. They said basically a place where the interest rates on cash is always zero, no matter what the central bank does, it's worth keeping funds close at hand, because if you're getting 0% in the bank and now they're talking about doing negative interest rates on them, you're better off to pull your cash out and put them in a very well secured hidden safe than leave them in the bank where they're going to be actually taxed essentially to keep your money in there. So I thought that's interesting now that more and more people are starting to wake up to this and are buying safes, finding more secure areas to store valuables, goods, cash, so forth, because of what's going on with the banks in the future.
I agree with that, but I don't agree with cash. I think everybody needs to pull their money out of the banks, and they need to go ahead and get gold and silver. If they're going to store anything, store that. Get a good safety deposit box at your bank. I don't recommend keeping any of that stuff at your home. I recommend keeping it in a neutral location somewhere other than your house. Make sure it's secured. Make sure you know the bank. Make sure you can get access to it. Make sure if they decide to have a bank holiday, talk to your president. Make sure you can get access to your safety deposit box. Do all of those things. But remember, cash is only cash. I mean, they can change the value almost instantaneously. I had a friend of mine a few years ago. He had a bunch of money in Switzerland. And Switzerland was on a free floating exchange rate, and they decided to peg it to the euro. And they took 10% of his money away overnight. He lost over $100,000 in one swoop of the computer. Craziest thing he's ever seen. So be real careful with cash. Be real careful with negative interest rates, because the truth is that's why they're trying to go to a cashless society. Because if they go to a cashless society, you can't pull cash out and hoard it. They don't have to worry about trying to make up the difference with their fiat currency, and they can pretty much do whatever they want to do as far as controlling you and manipulating you and turning you back into a slave, which is the goal. Now, I've got a good article here. Austin. The Amish don't get autism, but they don't vaccinate their children at all. People outside the alternative health community are often confused by the lack of autism in the Amish communities. The Amish do not experience autism at all, or most of the other learning disabilities that plague our technological society. They live in a society that consists of outdated technologies and ideals, at least by contemporary standards. Their diet consists of eating organic foods, fresh, locally grown produce, and of course, raw certified milk. They do not follow the established vaccination routines at all. Now, what I find about this is so interesting, because here's a complete cross-section. I mean, we literally have hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Amish in the United States with a zero rate of autism. Now, statistically, that's impossible unless we're doing something to our children causing all of this stuff. So I personally believe, and I've mentioned this many times, and I've written a book on this very topic. It's out of print now. You get it used on Amazon. It's called Maximum Solutions to ADD, Autism, and Learning Disabilities in Children. But what's interesting about this book, I was way ahead of the curve. That book was written like 16 years ago, and I talked about what we were doing with the vaccinations, the chemicals, the GMOs, even back then, warning parents of what was causing this major epidemic of autism. And again, we have all kinds of other books and materials, plus we have a really good newsletter that you can get from our website absolutely for free at healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. Austin, what's your next story?
Well, in fact, you brought that up, too, because when we went up to Montana years ago, remember, we went up there for pretty much the whole summer, and we had the privilege of actually hanging out and staying with an Amish family, actually a whole Amish group up there, when they built log homes. That's what they did for a living. And it's funny you brought that up because, remember, they had all these kids everywhere. There's all these kids running around working. They're all working. They're all playing. If they're not working, they're like 2 or 3 years old. And it's funny because all the kids there were super sharp. You ask them stuff, they were right on point with where they needed to go. You ask them anything about whether the work, with school, with this, with that, they were all exactly where they needed to be. A lot of them were way ahead of the curve as far as smarts, intellectual ability, and even some of the education they had already learned. But you're right. I don't remember seeing one single child anywhere in that. And they probably, what they have in that community, 100, 150 people at least.
They had a lot of kids, and that's, by the way, the name of the community is up in Libby, Montana. It's called Meadowlark Log Homes, Meadowlark, and Elvy is the owner of the facility up there. Give him a call if you want a log home, and I haven't talked to Elvy in a couple of years, and so he's not paying for a commercial, but I really like the guy, and we stayed with him for about 7 weeks off and on while we were in Montana. Had a blast with him, his family, and his children. In fact, one of his kids still stays in touch with me, so we had a really good time, and that's one of the reasons Alexis wanted to go to private school in Montana, because she fell in love with Montana. I mean, who wouldn't fall in love with Montana in the summertime? It's not even a fair comparison. If you haven't been there, you'll know why, or you won't know why, but if you ever go, you will know why. So it was absolutely great. Here's another article I want to talk about it today, Austin. I've got a good friend of mine. He contacted me today, and he ended up talking to me about his health. He was having some health issues. His blood pressure was a little bit high. He had gone on our HGH stimulator a few years ago, had really good results with that, and was able to bring the blood pressure back down to normal ranges. But for some reason, he decided not to take the products anymore, and he went to the doctor to get it on some blood pressure medicine. And while he was there, the doctor said, the reason that you're having the blood pressure, you're too nervous, you got too much stuff going on, we need to put you on some Xanax. And he acted awesome, like there was absolutely nothing wrong this doctor did with this product. And I told my friend, I said, look, dude, I said, here's the deal. That's a dangerous drug. We did a show a few months back with one of the top people who works with drug withdrawal in the United States. And he said more people die from withdrawing from Xanax than any other drug. So I pulled it back up again. I want to talk about this. They're called benzos. And it says, why benzo withdrawal syndrome is so deadly. Benzodiazepines, often abbreviated as benzos, are available and sometimes life-saving drugs for a wide variety of mental conditions. The major clinical advantages of these are is they have very quick actions. Now, well, here's some of the problems associated. Benzo withdrawal syndrome accompanies a physical dependence. The symptoms emerge when an individual taking any medication of the benzodiazepine group undergoes dosage reduction or discontinuation. However, not everyone experiences a complete list. Side effects of withdrawal include sleep disturbance, tension, anxiety, muscle spasms, pains, hand tremors, headaches. This list goes on and on and on, all the way to psychosis, seizures, hallucinations, and panic attacks. And it says why withdrawal symptoms are deadly. Benzodiazepines, Xanax, work by enhancing the activity of GABA, an inhibitory neurotransmitter responsible for the brain's natural sedation. When GABA system is influenced by benzos, it slows or stops the functioning of other neurotransmitters and thereby reduces the brain's overall activity. Within 6 to 8 weeks, the benzo users may develop a tolerance. If the tolerance is developed, their brains start needing progressively higher doses to get the GABA system firing at normal levels. And when you stop taking this, it can result in severe seizures and stroke, panic attacks, even deaths. This thing goes on and on and on about this. So guys, listen to me. It says here, dosage tapering, and you have to make sure you talk to your medical doctor if you're going to do this. This is not advice I'm giving you. I'm giving you no advice about this coming off this stuff. It's too dangerous. This is telling you, anyone withdrawing from long-term benzo use must taper the dosage slowly but gradually. Slow withdrawal means reducing the dosage over a period of months, not weeks. For a benzo withdrawal syndrome, it doesn't matter how long it takes you to get sober again. They're actually saying you get addicted to it. What's important is having stable progress towards your target goal while lessening your uneasiness along the way. Because abrupt withdrawal, particularly from large dosing, can enhance severe symptoms, also causing seizures. So talk to your doctor and make sure you don't use any alcohol if you're coming off of the stuff. And remember, never use the benzos to boost opioid painkillers, because a lot of people like to stack these together to make them stronger. Guys, 16,650 deaths reported in 2010 from this. Unbelievable huge amounts of people are dying from these drugs. Don't do this. Very, very important. And what you should do, 5-hydroxy-L-tryptophan, cod liver oil, B vitamins. There's so many natural protocols to calm you down and get you relaxed without starting on Xanax. So guys, stay away from the benzodiazepines if you've never been on them. Try natural protocols to start with. We've got a really good letter, a testimonial letter of a man who started on a protocol and has had complete results within just a few months. And don't let the doctor talk you into thinking these are just little pills you're taking like M&Ms. These are not. This is a strong, strong, strong drug. Austin, you want to add anything about this?
You're exactly correct on those. Yes, we've brought it up before. I've gotten questions in the office before. My response is always, you need to follow your doctor's care and whatever he recommends you to do with Xanax or any. There's different names as far as what kind of different versions there are, but any type of benzodiazepines, be very, very careful with them. If you have family members, if you have friends, if you have children that are on them and they want to get off, please use discretion and use a qualified doctor to help them with that.
We've got a friend of ours who's a pastor up in Georgia, and he has a daughter who's on these, and she's been on them for years, and she works as a mental health counselor, and she can't come off of them. She's tried over and over and over and over again, and she's so addicted to them, and she feels so bad if she tries to taper the dosing down. She's so hopelessly addicted, she feels, that she doesn't even want to try to come off of them anymore. This is an addictive mess. Any of these tricyclic antidepressants, serotonin reuptake inhibitors, any of these drugs should be only used as a last resort after you've tried every natural treatment protocol you possibly can. Do you agree with that, Oz?
Yes, and the same goes with Adderall, the extended-release Adderall, the Ritalin, any of the controlled-release amphetamine salts for the ADD or ADHD symptoms that usually occur, they say, in childhood years with children. Be very, very wary about that. I get phone calls on that repeatedly as well, as far as doctors wanting to put customers' kids on Adderall, 6, 7 years old sometimes even younger. And, I mean, understand, guys, these are full-blown amphetamine salts. They're the same category as far as what they do to your body as cocaine. They're Schedule II amphetamine salts. You do not need to use those unless it's absolutely necessary. And this even been released now, and Dad's talked about it numerous times, is that ADHD was a made-up diagnosis. It does not exist. The children that have issues with learning disabilities, usually all they need is omega-3 fatty acids in their diet, and it fixes the issue almost instantaneously. You don't need to put them on a Schedule II amphetamine salt to fix their brain activity because they're hyperactive. It's just not necessary.
No, you're absolutely right. In fact, I remember that was a real hot button back in the 90s when I was on the success circuit with the Peter Lowe organization. I remember I was one of the top speakers on the seminar circuit, and the reason I had such a high approval rating was because I told the people the truth. Now, this is 25 years ago now that I was doing all of these seminars, and what's interesting about this is I told the people the same thing. Back in the 90s, I told them that high-fat luncheon meats cause cancer, that aspartame causes cancer, that hydrogenated oils cause cancer, that shellfish can cause seizures and death, and they contain abnormally high levels of arsenic, lead, and mercury, that junk food can make you fat, and high fructose corn syrup was bad, that soy was bad. I mean, I listed them all, Austin. Back 20, 25 years ago, I was doing these seminars to 20, 30, 40,000 people, and I've spoken to millions of people via radio and TV now in the past 35 years saying the same thing. The story hasn't changed. if a cocaine addict is given Ritalin, the cocaine addict can't tell whether he was given Ritalin or cocaine. And the Adderall is even worse than cocaine because that's a mixture of different amphetamine salts. And what people do is they grind this junk up and they snort it up their noses. I mean, this thing is a strong, strong, strong drug. It's one of the top 10 drugs slated for pharmaceutical theft in the United States. And they hand them out to children like the kids are basically, you know, some kind of nutbag and they got to have a Schedule II drug. This is in the same category with morphine, opium, Percodan, Demerol, Oxycontin. That's how strong this stuff is. It's a tightly regulated drug. And that doesn't mean don't ever use it because sometimes you might have to. But again, it has to be the last treatment protocol. Austin, I've seen children as young as 2 years of age on Ritalin. 2 years. 2 years of age. Children as young as 2 years of age are given Prozac. Are you kidding me? What the heck does a two-year-old know about depression? All they're doing is trying to drug these kids into a stupor. Because what happens with a young child's developing brain when they're giving an amphetamine salt, it has the exact opposite effect that it has on an adult brain. It calms them way, way, way down. That's why if you take a Sudafed or if I take a Sudafed, it makes me kind of hyper. Okay, that's what it does because it has it's a stimulant. When you give it to a child, it makes them take a nap. The brain acts differently as with these young kids. So again, last treatment protocol. A lot of these kids with ADD and ADHD is because they're eating GMO foods, because they're not getting enough cod liver oil, because they're not getting enough B vitamins, and because they're getting poisoned by immunizations and Nagalase. I mean, this is a major problem in the United States with the 67 or so immunizations these kids are getting now with all of these different compounds, including aluminum, fetal cells, all this poison. Our DNA is literally being rewritten by the drugs, the GMO foods, and the Morgellons. And they're spraying this stuff on via geoengineering, and that's why pretty much everybody on the planet has been infected with the Morgellons bacteria, fungus, animal variety. It's cross species. It's a cross domain life form. It's never been seen that I know of on the planet before, but yet now it's in human beings and we've inhaled it through the doggone air. So this is some crazy stuff. So you've got to keep your immune system strong so this stuff can't get a foothold in your system. Very, very, very important. That's why if you go to the website, it has an immune system protocol on the front page and try to follow that immune system protocol to the best of your ability because it keeps you really, really, really healthy. And one of the things I found earlier, just about last year, of the product called Astragalus is also part of that program. And we have the highest potency Astragalus that I can find at healthmasters.com. And if you get a sore throat, something starts going wrong, you start feel like you're coming down with a cold, you pop out 6 or 8 of those Astragalus, it knocks that stuff out within hours. I've never seen anything work like this product does before. It's absolutely phenomenal. What's your next story, Oz?
One that ties into that, and this is in Australia now, and this is another reason why we continue to tell everybody to try and be as self-sufficient and as independent as possible. And January 1st, Australian federal government implemented what was called a no jab, no pay law, which has now sparked a rush on vaccines as parents are fear missing out on welfare benefits. Under this new vaccination policy, parents will lose their family tax benefit Part A supplement and child care subsidies if their child is not completely up to date with all immunizations. And I read through this, and it's nuts. I mean, basically what they're doing is if the children are not given their full immunizations all together, it doesn't matter if they're having issues, it doesn't matter if they're having side effects, if they're not given all their immunizations up to date every single time, the family loses all of the tax benefits, the schooling, the housing programs, the food subsidies, the tax as far as deductions with the children. All this stuff mounting up to sometimes $10,000-$15,000 a year, depending on how many children these people have. This is another way the globalists are trying to infect everybody with this vaccine nonsense. They're forcing people to do it. Now they're using people that are lower income, that are having issues making ends meet on welfare, forcing these individuals now to vaccinate all their kids regardless of side effects. And if they don't, they lose thousands and thousands of dollars a year. I can almost assure you we will slowly see this be implemented in the United States in the near future as the push for vaccines is becoming worse and worse and worse year by year.
Well, no, what's happened, Austin, is they're absolutely just in full-blown panic trying to reduce the population of the planet.
Yep.
I mean, that's what they're trying to do. Remember, a country, if it can maintain a constant population, most of the time it can feed itself most of the time. Then it doesn't have to resort to war, and resource acquisition to feed its people. This is one of the things that Hitler spoke about in his book, this untitled book, and he called it Lebensraum, or enough room to spread out and live. It was his primary rationale to get back the land taken from Germany in the Versailles Treaty. Plus, because of his hatred towards Russia and communism, he wanted to take Russia to have their land and their rich farmland. If every country could stabilize its own population and feed its own people, then peace could be maintained. The problem is we have 100 million people every single year that are being born, and it's almost all in the third world countries. And so it destabilizes everything. Since we stabilize our population in Europe and in America, they want to continue to destabilize us by bringing in 60 to 90 million Hispanics into the United States and millions and millions and millions of these people from the Middle East into Europe. I mean, if you look back at ancient Rome with the gladiators and you wonder how the Roman security state could have been so cruel, or how Hitler or Stalin, and wonder how so many people were allowed to die, it's because in modern society, we do the same thing. But we don't do the same thing as far as gladiatorial games or concentration camps. The New World Order today has marked mankind for slaughter, Austin. They've decided through the Georgia Guidestones they want to reduce the population to 500 million people. Using the excuse of managing the global population, massive death programs are underway. We are all victims of this correct population policy that seeks to reduce the population to a sustainable level, again, of $500 million or 500 million people. And I've talked so many times about how they're doing all of this. The primary method that they're using are through chemical and biological agents to destroy human fertility and sexuality and immune systems, as well as a variety of psychosocial and economic methods to subvert the family unit. The method used to control population growth has been dictated by growth rate and the existing infrastructure in the development countries. For instance, we have a very good water treatment protocol in the United States, which third world countries don't have, so they put fluoride in all of our water systems throughout the entire country, which causes the population to be fertile, infertile, and servile. Now, when they have no water treatment systems like they do in third world countries, they put, like in South America, they have terrible water treatment. They use fluoride and table salt. It's almost impossible to buy table salt in South America that does not have fluoride added to it, because they're using it as an anti-fertility agent. This is what the United Nations, the international community, including the Rothschild banking cartel, the IMF, the Vatican, all of these people, the Jesuits, they're using all of these different types of programs to reduce the population of the planet as quickly as they possibly can. This doesn't even include the GMOs or the use of glyphosate and all of the things that they're doing. It's to basically destroy the ability of human beings to have children. Men's sperm counts are down as much as 90% in the United States. That's because of the use of polycarbonates and BPA plastics in water bottles and epoxy resins. BPA is ingested when it leaches into the bottled water and food. We carry our water in either a BPA-free plastic, but primarily when Sharon and I go to a restaurant, we use like a glass Voss bottle. You see, and we just posted, if you go to the website right now, we posted a picture of me cleaning out my distillation system and all of the junk that's in the distiller that comes out after just a few weeks. It's unbelievable how much trash is in the water and how distillation is the only thing that clears out the water. But all of these different ways are being used right now, and the immunizations, to reduce the population of the planet. I know so many people, Austin, that are in their 20s and 30s. They're trying desperately to have children, but they can't have kids. And a lot of the guys, and we found out the other day, aluminum is one of the biggest sterilants they can put into the food supply. And all these shots are containing aluminum, and almost all of these guys are having problems with sperm count now because of all the aluminum they're breathing from the chemtrails and from the immunizations they're being given. So you've got to avoid aluminum. You can't cook in aluminum pots and pans. You can't use aluminum chlorhydrate antiperspirant deodorants. You can't use aluminum triskelate as anti-caking agents in baking powder and baking soda and sometimes table salt. You've got to get away from all this huge amounts of aluminum that's being ingested by the people in the United States. It's a massive infertility agent. And so it's going to be bad, Austin, when all the people in this country who want to have kids can't have kids anymore, and it's all coming from third world countries. The United States, as we know it, will be completely and totally destroyed if it doesn't happen sooner, son. What's your next story?
You're absolutely right. It will be. Well, this is looks like at least a partial win here in Ohio now. Ohio Governor John Kasich has signed a bill now that completely eliminates state funding from Planned Parenthood and the Buckeye State. The new bill, which was co-sponsored by Representative Bill Patman and Representative Margaret Condon, was signed into law by Governor John Kasich, and it redirects $1.3 million in taxpayer funds away from Planned Parenthood of Ohio to other health facilities and it prohibits the state from entering into a contract for health services with any entity that performs or promotes abortions. This was done by the Cleveland Reports by Cleveland.com. This is interesting. If this is really accurate, this is a huge step. The biggest thing I was shocked about was the fact that just Ohio alone, state taxes go to $1.3 million in funding of Planned Parenthood. That's insane. I had no idea that just the state itself, I know they're federally funded as well, but the state at the state level spends over $1 million a year in funding Planned Parenthood. That's crazy to me, especially Ohio's not even that big. I'm sure states like California and other really liberal states, they must just pump millions of dollars a year into Planned Parenthood. That's interesting.
Well, again, think about this. We pump the money into Planned Parenthood, but yet we bring in millions of illegal immigrants and we pay them to come here and we give them free everything. I mean,
yeah.
We're trying to reduce the population through Planned Parenthood, but we're bringing in these unskilled, unwashed masses that have all types of diseases into the United States, including the militant Muslim jihadists, and we think all of this is okay. But yet we're pushing Planned Parenthood, we're pushing depopulation. So think about this. They're spraying us with chemtrails to depopulate us. They're feeding us aluminum to depopulate us. They're giving us fluoride to depopulate us. They're giving us immunizations to depopulate us. But yet they bring in the populations of these third world countries to repopulate us. That doesn't make any sense to me, Austin. None of it makes any sense. I mean, like Forrest Gump says, it doesn't even make stupid sense. I have no idea what this means. You know, I really don't get this. It makes no sense to me at all. So I don't know. It's just the whole thing is kind of crazy. It really is. Here's another interesting article. This is from The Independent. Syria ceasefire. Putin vows to put pressure on Assad regime, and they call it a regime. So it's not a regime. He's a president of the country, duly elected, of the Assad presidency, as date for U.S.-Russian broker deal is confirmed. Vladimir Putin hailed the agreement with optimism, describing it as a real step forward that could stop the bloodshed, and saying that Moscow would use its influence on President Assad to make sure it is observed. The other day I talked about supposedly a global war starting over there in the next 16 or 18 days, like some of the talk show hosts were talking about, and I said I don't count on that happening. I think Putin has enough sense to put a stop to this stuff, because he's already said that if they start invading Syria, he's going to use tactical nukes on them, son, and that's going to put a big stop on everybody's parade over there, especially when you start killing 100,000 troops at one time with a tactical nuke. So I really believe that we're not going to have a nuclear war. I told you that the other day, but I do believe we could have fuel air bombs and a conventional warfare that could spark something bigger, but I'm just going to believe, God, that's not going to happen. What's your next story?
Yeah, I hope so, too. We constantly heard about the minimum wage increase all over the country now, and now apparently Oregon state legislators, despite the concerns of all the business groups, have passed a geographically based increase in the minimum wage now, and a lot of people are pretty irritated about it in Oregon. Jason Brandt, who's a prominent business leader in Oregon, he's the president and CEO of the Oregon Restaurant and Lodging Association. He said he expects significant unintended consequences, adding that we are deeply concerned about the impact this will have over the next years on the cost of food, child care, and other staple items that are important to working families. The legislation will hike wages based on geographical location. Right now it's like $9 an hour in Oregon. They're going to make all the urban areas are going to go to $14.75 an hour. Urban counties are going to go to $13.50, and rural counties are going to go to $12.50. What nobody understands, and let me say something for a second here, I understand the need for a lot of families to try and increase more income, but when you start doing stuff like this, when you start bringing the minimum wage from $9.25 to $4.75, you know, $5 plus increase in minimum wage, the market cannot sustain that, especially smaller businesses that are paying all, matching the Medicare, matching the Social Security, trying to make payroll, trying to keep inventory carrying costs down. It can't keep up with this, especially when it's done this abruptly. Am I wrong about this, Dad? But this seems like this is definitely not going to help the overall economy at all when you do jumps that are this heavy.
Well, here's how I look at it, and let me quote, I'm going to semi-quote my old friend Jim Rohn, may he rest in peace. And he talked about this a long, long time ago. In fact, you can look up a lot of his emails and a lot of his teachings online on YouTube for free. I mean, he's got a six-hour weekend seminar in there that is probably one of the best things you're ever going to spend your time watching. And his name is Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N. They asked him one time about the minimum wage, should it be raised? And he said, the minimum wage has already been raised. It's a sliding pay scale. It goes from back then it was like $3 an hour all the way up to, $1 million a year or whatever, some of these top CEOs. Now, what's interesting about that, no one puts a limit on what you can or can't earn. You're paid by what the economy and by what the business and what your value to that business is. So if you're valuable to a company, they're going to pay you $14 or $15 or $16 an hour. If you're in a training phase in that country and the minimum wage is $6 an hour and you're useless. I mean, we've had employees that we've hired at Health Masters and for 2 or 3 months, they're pretty much in a training phase and you actually lose money on productivity on these people for the first 2 or 3 months. Well, if you had to start paying them $15, $16, $18, $25 an hour minimum wage to start with, it creates a huge burden on the person who's having to pay that with all along with all of the matching compensation, which you were so smart to point out. See, what folks don't get is this. When a company hires somebody, they got to match the Social Security of the person who pays the Social Security. They got to do all the Medicare, the Medicaid, all the stuff, the insurance, the health insurance, all of these different things are on top of the salary. So that's the problem. So Jim Rohn said it succinctly. There already is a higher amount of money they can be made, they can pay. It pays based upon their value, Austin. So I think raising the minimum wage is ridiculous.
Well, on top of that too, I mean, you're looking at $14.75. That's right under $31,000 a year minimum wage in urban areas. That means working at a McDonald's or working at a CC's Pizza, you're going to be making almost $31,000 a year at $15 an hour. What's going to happen to upper management that may only be making $17, $18, $19 an hour right now? They're not going to want to stay in that position when somebody underneath them now is only making $2 or $3 an hour less. And how is that business possibly going to stay in business when all of a sudden they have to start paying, minimum wage employees like dishwashers? And if that's your job position, there's nothing wrong with that. But again, that's what you are bringing to the table. That's what you're producing. Your job at that point is not producing that much money. So paying you $31,000 a year to bus tables is not going to be conducive to the business in a long-term standpoint as far as cash flow and overall cost. So there's no way that any of these companies, especially smaller businesses, are going to be able to maintain stuff like this. That's the issue with blowing up the minimum wage scale so fast, which so many people are in basically agreement with, which I understand it has to slowly come up. But again, it's already at $9.25 in Oregon. It's much higher than it is in Florida already. So a lot of people need to understand that, and it's not that much more expensive in Oregon to live.
I know one of our listeners, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase this because I don't remember the exact details, but it's either Oregon or it was Washington State, and he had set up a quadplex for some Hispanics, I believe, that had come in who were wanting to work up there, and they were living, and then all of a sudden they had to close the quadplex down. Something happened. And the state required, because they had to move out, that he had to pay them $8,000 each to move out. So he had to end up costing him $32,000 to move these folks out of the quadplex or out of the house or whatever they were in. I mean, when you start having regulation like this, I remember one time we had a nanny who worked for us, and she was out of California, and she worked for us like 1 week. I mean, 1 week. And I remember she was awful, so we let her go back to California, paid her ticket, she went back. And then they file for unemployment in California. And the California Department of whatever, welfare, contacted us and said we had to pay her unemployment of like $200 or $300 a week for like a year. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. She worked for us a couple of weeks. In Florida, you have 90 days if someone works for you and they don't do what they're supposed to do. You can cut them loose and not be stuck paying unemployment. And I had to fight with the Department of Labor in California. I can't remember how long. Finally, I had to go through the nanny agency that we had hired her through, and they had to contact them to get that stopped. But see, when you get out west, when you get these super liberal states that are almost all Democratic, and they have all of these quote-unquote workers' rights, the people, the individuals, the people who hire them pretty much have no rights any longer, or the people who rent to them have no rights any longer. So it becomes a major, major mess. Now, 14, 15, 16, why don't you just make it $25 an hour, and nobody will have a job? I mean, absolutely ridiculous, Austin, and all of these end costs are going to be charged back to the final consumer in the end product anyhow, because they have to raise the prices on everything they're selling to cover all of this stuff.
And that's what nobody understands. So they're $14.75 minimum wage increase that they're going to get now may be all great and dandy for the first couple of years, but it was like you said, as soon as all the stuff does full swing and starts increasing the cost all the way across the board, the inflation that's been occurring because of the massive increase in minimum wage is going to be paid somewhere, because all the people are going to have to raise their costs, all their manufacturing costs, transport costs, all this stuff. There's no way a restaurant's going to be able to stay in business paying people in the back that are making burgers or dishwashing $15 an hour and make any kind of income in a food restaurant. It won't happen.
They'll have to raise the prices on the food. People will order less. The servers make less money. It just sets up a terrible spiral. Here's another article from Russia Today. The U.S. sends 5,000 tons, not one ton, not 1,000 tons, 5,000 tons of ammunition to Germany to help the NATO alliance. What do they know about we don't know about? Are we fixing to have a full-blown war in Germany? That's what that sounds like. Germans have about had enough of this immigrant population coming in and taking over their country. The article goes on to say, Washington has dispatched more than 5,000 tons of ammunition to Germany, the largest amount in 10 years. The U.S. military announced adding that the shipment will help it to continue to enable the NATO alliance and to defend its allies. In the largest single European-bound U.S. shipment of ammunition in 10 years, the 21st Theater Sustainment Command transported over 5,000 tons of ammunition to the Theater Logistics Support Center, Europe's ammunition depot in Misau, Germany, February the 17th. Said a statement on the U.S. Army website, this critical shipment will help to continue to enable the NATO alliance, and the fact that it's the largest single shipment in 10 years demonstrates our continued commitments to the defense of our allies. Who are they defending them against, Austin? 21st TSC Chief of Staff Colonel Matthew Redding said, maintaining a stockpile of ammunition means the U.S. and NATO can quickly draw ammunition in support of short-notice NATO operations. What the heck? 5,000 tons? You know how many rounds of ammunition that is? I don't know how many millions and millions and millions of rounds that is. Austin, is that insane?
Well, that's accurate. I saw that too. And what, it's not just small arms ammunition like 5.56 ammunition. It's heavy munitions as well. What's interesting too is that much ammo came on 415 shipping containers. The ones you see on the backs of transport semi trucks. One semi-truck can carry one shipping container, 415 shipping containers worth of ammunition. This was not all small arms ammunition, guys. This was all heavy, heavy artillery mixed in there as well. I don't see any reasonable reason why Germany needed that much ammunition in one shipment from the United States, unless, like you just said, unless they know something that we don't know. That is a substantial amount of ammunition for any country to take in delivery over a period of years, much less one main shipment of 415 shipping containers. That's pretty serious.
I mean, it's almost like they know something's fixing to happen. They're fixing to start a war over there, or they're fixing to have a massive civil war in Germany, which it seems like that could happen, by the way, from my contacts over there. Here's another interesting article. This is off of CBS News, so I think that's pretty interesting because they're completely Rothschild-controlled news agency. It says, the judge rules the DOJ must share documents from Fast and the Furious scandal. House Republicans sued in federal court in 2012 to obtain thousands of emails related to a botched effort by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives to track guns across the southwest border. In her decision today, U.S. District Judge Amy Jacks Brennan, watch your life, watch your back, watch your... that you don't have a heart attack, said it was inappropriate for the Justice Department to make a blanket assertion of executive privilege, in part because the agency had already disclosed through other channels much of the information it wants to withhold. Since any harm that would flow from the disclosure sought here would be merely incremental, the records must be reproduced, the judge reported. Representative Justin Chavez, a Utah Republican, chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, which has been seeking the documents, says the judge's ruling will help the committee to advance its investigation to figure out what really happened with Fast and Furious. I'll tell you what happened with Fast and Furious. It was about our Second Amendment rights. They wanted all these fully automatic weapons to come back across the border and start shooting people in this country so they could take away our Second Amendment rights. That's what they were trying to do. That's the inside track. That's what we've been told. That's what happened. But the problem is, Obama administration completely skated on it again. What do you think, Oz?
They sent 32 Barrett 50 caliber sniper rifles over the border. with that Fast and Furious operation. Why in the world do you need to send over 30, 50 caliber sniper rifles if you're simply trying to get straw purchases to find out where they go to make firearm-related arrests? Why don't you send them a couple Tech 9, 9mm, 380 cal machine guns that you can't hit diddly crap with anyways, and send about 5 or 10 of those, and then bust them coming back through? Why do you send them over 2,000 machine guns, including 30-plus 50-caliber sniper rifles? That's exactly what they plan on doing. That was a false flag operation that went haywire and got busted because the Mexicans down there said, hey, if you're going to send us 2,000 machine guns, we'll just take them and disperse them accordingly. We're not going to try and take them back over the border. We already have enough weapons that we send over there without an issue. We'll keep them here. And that's exactly what they did. The ATF got busted for it, just like they get busted for a ton of other stuff they do, and then they don't want to take responsibility for it.
The ATF is the most corrupt organization in the federal government. It's also the oldest one in the federal government, and it needs to be disbanded. It needs to be done through the states, and the ATF, the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, needs to be handled from a state level and not from a national federal level. Totally corrupt organization. It's awful. Here's another interesting one. GMO labeling, the shocking draft text of the New Dark Act. This is out of Sustainable Pulse. A U.S. Senate committee is working on a New Dark Act legislation that would prevent states from requiring labels on genetically modified foods. Sustainable Pulse has decided to publish a copy of the New Dark Act draft. The New Dark Act draft contains more some shocking text, including details of how the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture will become a preacher for the U.S. biotech industry. Education. The Secretary, in coordination with other federal agencies as appropriate, shall provide science-based information, including any information on the environmental, nutritional, economic, humanitarian benefits of agricultural biotechnology through education outreach and promotion to address consumer acceptance of agricultural biotechnology. Vermont is set to require GMO labeling this summer, which would be blocked if the New Dark Act is supported by the Senate. The Senate panel is scheduled to vote on this bill on Thursday, which will be this week. Guys, call your senators. Tell them we do not want the Dark Act passed. Hillary Clinton has gotten so much money from all of this GMO garbage. She is the GMO queen, but yet she won't eat a mess of this, and she's still sick as a dog eating what she's eating. What do you think, Oz?
Well, it's completely accurate. I mean, there's absolutely no reason, and it was dubbed the Dark Act, which stands for Deny Americans the Right to Know. And my question is, and I've brought this up numerous times, if GMOs are so great, GMOs are so safe, GMOs help stop world hunger so amazingly, why wouldn't you want to promote them? Why wouldn't you want to say this product contains GMO foods? You know, donate to your local Monsanto store. You're supporting Monsanto. Help end global hunger. Now, obviously, you guys know I'm being sarcastic about that. But again, if it's so great like they try to promote to us, like they preach at everybody and try and ram it down our throats like, oh no, if you think GMOs are bad, you're a conspiracy theorist, you just need to eat them and shut up. If they're so great for us, why wouldn't they want them labeled? It makes no sense. If something is so awesome, if it's so great, you want to promote it. You want to encourage people to eat it. They know what this stuff does. They know that glyphosate has been linked, hundreds of different studies now, has been linked directly related to cancer. They know what this is. They know how it changes the DNA. They're doing it more and more and more. Now they came out with the Aqua Bounty GMO salmon last year, which is, I'm not even going to get back on that one again. That one makes me so irate. And then they stated when they came out with it that they did not require any type of GMO labeling on the package. You're kidding me? The first GMO animal on the planet you're releasing to the human population to eat, and you don't even require it to be labeled? How in the world are you going to know if there's any type of adverse reaction with that product ever? You won't. That's the whole point. That's the whole reason behind this Dark Act. So Dad's exactly right. If you get it on the phone, email as many people as you can. I do it regularly. Get any type of senators, representatives, governors. I don't even care who they are. Just email them and tell them you do not want this going through. We elected them for a reason, and that was to support the people. Representation for the people. That's us. Not anybody else. Not Monsanto. Not the billionaires. Not old Benghazi scandal Clinton who needs to be in prison. The people. We want our food labeled. We want to know if there's GMO food in it. Tell them that. Because this right now, this Dark Act gets enacted and it actually goes through and it becomes federal law, it will be next to impossible at any state level to require GMO labeling, period. And unless we get Trump in there and he actually decides he wants to get rid of this and they don't take him out and he's not any type, he doesn't have any other issues, that would be the only pretty much card we would have on that. If this thing goes into law, you can pretty much say that the GMO fight will essentially be over at that point.
And again, it's Monsanto, it's the lobbyists, paying hundreds of millions of dollars for this stuff.
Yep.
Like yesterday, I was doing the research on the glyphosate, and we did an article on that yesterday. And while I was reading the research, there were a whole bunch of farmers on there that were saying, oh, yes, of course we use the Roundup on the wheat. Of course we do. We only use a small amount. It doesn't matter. We don't drench it. We just spray it with helicopters. But it's not drenched with Roundup. It's diluted. And we only do it for a couple of weeks beforehand because it doesn't make a good desiccant agent, but we always use it on the crops. It's just standard operating procedure. But it's completely safe. There's nothing to see here. Go away. Those aren't the drones you're looking for. Why do you think you need to look at these drones? There's nothing here. Go on. Let's do the Jedi mind trick. Nothing here to see. Nothing here to see. And I'm sure it was written by government trolls or agents for the doggone glyphosate Monsanto cartel that's doing it. It's the number one herbicide used in the world. Hundreds of millions of tons of this stuff is produced every single year and is poisoning the entire ecosystem. And no, it's not okay to eat it. It causes all types of problems with your intestines, Austin. It's one of the worst things. Here's another article from Donald Trump. This is from Kit Daniels. Donald Trump is calling for an audit of the Federal Reserve. The GOP frontrunner said it was important to audit the Fed and even called out his rival, Senator Ted Cruz, for skipping a vote on Senator Rand Paul's audit the Fed proposal back in January. During Friday's appearance on the Alex Jones show, Trump insider Roger Stone, by the way, who's brilliant, just wrote a new book on the Bushes and had a book released last year on the Clintons. Trump insider Roger Stone asked if Trump would call for an audit, and Stone said he thought so, but he would pass the message along to the Trump campaign. He's not a big fan of the Fed, Stone pointed out. He is scaring the central bankers. He is scaring the Washington Wall Street DC consultant lobbying class. He's deeply suspicious of the Fed, and I think he's open-minded about the Fed for a full audit. I suspect you'll get an audit from the Fed with Trump. You know what, guys? I got to say this. You need to start wearing better bulletproof armor. You need to be wearing this level 3 body protection, Donald. You need behind 3/4 inch, 2-inch plexiglass in your seminars and when you're coming in front of stages. You've got to get away from getting yourself fully exposed. Everybody coming into your seminars have to be going through metal detectors now. He's gotten too big, Austin. He's talking too much truth now, especially when he says he's going to tell what happened with 9/11. And the Bushes are scared to death because they were deeply involved with the 9/11 cover-up and everything else. Remember that show, the show Family Guy? Just a couple of years ago, they came out with a whole video of a Supreme Court justice dying during a hunting accident from a heart attack. Remember that? See,
yep.
They're always telling us what they're going to do before they do it, because that's that karma, that white magic these guys do, these sickos, in which they've got to tell you what they're going to do before they do it, so there's not such bad karma for them on the other side of the death cycle, I guess. Because they don't really know what's going to happen. If you read Isaiah chapter 15, he kind of tells them. But the reality is this. This is something that we have to be aware of. Trump really needs to beef up his security. Austin, what do you think?
Yes, he does. I don't know as far as what type of level of security they can provide for him as far as personnel. I've already read a few reports. They said that's why he can't button up his jacket, because he usually has 3A soft armor on. That's usually only good up to 44 magnums or handguns. Any large caliber rifle round, it doesn't do anything for. But I would definitely, if he doesn't already, I would make sure that all of his vehicles are definitely leveled up to at least, I think, level 5 or level 6 armored personnel level, which is 50 caliber round. I would do that just in general and make sure those vehicles are waiting for you when he gets off, or at least have them transported ahead of time. I don't know what else he can do, though, without seeming, because the problem is, Donald Trump's he's cocky. I mean, the man's got money. He's very educated. He's very aggressive. So I don't know to the extent of what he will allow himself to be securitized without feeling like he's basically being a coward. I don't know. But quite frankly, from what you're saying now and what he's saying, I mean, when he starts calling out 9/11, when he starts calling out the Federal Reserve, when he starts calling out all this stuff now repeatedly, he's called out the vaccine, he's pro-Second Amendment. You know, if this boy is really, really, if he is what he says he is and he really has these full intentions, I think the globalists are scared. I think they're scared extremely bad, because there's no way that if he possibly was to get elected that their plans would be completely botched as far as what they have ready to go over the next 10, 15, 20 years. I mean, they still may be able to implement something, but he's going to put a massive kink in their entire timeline.
Well, no, that's exactly what they're scared of, because Ronald Reagan did the same thing, and that's after he was shot. He was still able to hold
the same
back.
Thing.
He slowed him down about 15 years, and if Ronald Reagan had not been shot within the first 30 days or so in office, and George Bush had not been running that pregnancy, you'd never had Iran-Contra and everything else. Because remember, George H. Bush, he was totally involved with Iran-Contra. He's the one who promoted it all through the Reagan administration, and they all skated and blamed it on Ollie North, which is complete nonsense, because they were running drugs and selling drugs to pay for weapons. I mean, this has been going on now for years through Operation Condor and Operation Gladio. I mean, remember, guys, Afghanistan is the primary producer. 95% of the world's heroin comes out of Afghanistan. The United States protects the crops over there, the poppy fields, with our troops. We then have a huge factory that we built that processes this stuff so pure, people are overdosing all over the world on this stuff because it's so pure now. And then we transport the pure heroin into Turkey, and then it's distributed on C-130 transport planes into Germany and back through into the United States, which is given to the mob who disperses it. Then the money's run back through the different banking institutions, which are washing the currency, including the Vatican banks. They've been doing this now since the 40s when Chiang Kai-shek told them how to do it and how he was supporting his army in China. This whole thing's been going on now for 75 years. And now heroin has become a trillion-dollar a year industry in the United States alone. It's the third largest commodity sold between oil and natural gas. And the heroin is just flowing out of Afghanistan like crazy. And we are guarding the poppy fields. And remember, in 2000, the doggone heroin dried up. In Afghanistan, because the warlords came back in and started taking it over, all of the Taliban said, no, you're not going to raise this stuff. You're not going to have it here. We're going to kill all of this stuff. Heroin supplies dried up. Massive shortage of heroin all over the place in 2000 and 2001. All of a sudden, 9/11 hits in 2001. All of a sudden, now we're back in Afghanistan bombing away and killing people. You see, that's what happened. It's one of the primary reasons of 9/11. There are a whole bunch of factors that were involved in it, was the fact that the heroin had stopped flowing out of Afghanistan. Plus, they wanted to get rid of Building 7 of the trade towers because it held the physical evidence for Enron. Plus, they wanted to get rid of the made trade towers because they were full of asbestos. Plus, Silverstein wanted to collect all the insurance policies. But it was involved with the Mossad and Saudi Arabia and the United States were all walking lockstep with the CIA and bringing down those trade towers. And we all know that now by the research and the evidence that's been done with it. The sad part about this is there are criminal elements of the United States government that have hijacked the U.S. government along with international banks and international corporations that have taken control of the U.S. as we know it. And until we can get somebody in the White House who's not one of these insiders, who's not on everybody's payroll like these guys are, we're not going to get this thing cleaned up. And I got to believe God Almighty that he sent us Donald Trump. I have to believe that, Austin, and that we're going to get this mess fixed. What do you think, son?
Oh, yeah. Well, remember, too, in the year 2000, there were only 7 countries that did not have a Rothschild-owned central bank. Afghanistan, Iraq, Sudan, Libya, Cuba, North Korea, and Iran. Now, coincidentally, we already took over almost all those. North Korea and Iran are the last two big ones. There's pretty much a Rothschild-owned central reserve bank in almost every country now over there. That is one of the main reasons why they're trying so hard. Remember, last year they had so much propaganda about trying to invade Iran again because of their nuclear weapons. I'm not saying Iran's good. I'm not even saying I support them. But again, always look behind the factor. In the year 2000, there was no Federal Reserve Bank in Iraq or in Afghanistan. That quickly changed after we took them over, bombed their country, invaded them with our military, and then, of course, what do you know? We put in a Central Reserve Bank owned by the Rothschild banking cartel. Look behind the rocks, man. Almost every time you look under the rocks, you'll find one of these dirty Rothschild boys somewhere trying to get more money and more control and more power over somebody or something.
No, you're absolutely right. In fact, they actually had a name for it. It's called the Wolfowitz Doctrine. Wolfowitz went in there, and he's the one who set all that up. And then he was a big central bank boy. And then I think they made him head of the World Bank or IMF or something after that. I don't remember. It's been so long ago now. But the thing about it is they had a name. It's called the Wolfowitz Doctrine. And it was overthrowing these countries and bringing in these central banks because they didn't want them to have the power of not having a U.S.-controlled, Rothschild-controlled central bank. Because remember, the Treasury and the Rothschild – Treasury of the United States and the Rothschild banking cartel in 1934 through the Exchange Stability Fund became synonymous with one another. And that's when they pretty much took over the government with their shadow government. That's what's going on right now in the United States. That's why we have to get rid of the Fed, audit the Fed, figure out what the Fed did, do all of this stuff immediately. And what they may be doing is using Donald Trump for a patsy. Because if the Fed contracts the money supply, if Donald Trump gets elected, it'll put the country into a severe depression. And everybody can say, it's Donald Trump's fault, it's Donald Trump's fault, it's Donald Trump's fault, you know? So he may be getting set up, too. So we've got to pray for him that he gets the right people in Congress and the right people in the Senate, and that they're willing to audit the Fed and not be worried about all this money they've been getting for all of these years from all of these different institutions, Austin. And see, that's what's happening all over the world, all over the United States. It's, again, you know, Henry Ford warned about the international bankers. It was one of the reasons that Hitler hated the international bankers so bad. It's, and everybody who talks out against them, their entire livelihood of their countries are overthrown. Remember, Gaddafi talked about it in Libya. He wanted to start his own, he started trading gold for oil. Boom, he was gone. You know, Saddam Hussein started talking about wanting to trade gold for oil. Boom, he was gone. CIA came in. Yep. Syria didn't want to put in the gout in the pipeline. They wanted, boom, civil war. I mean, Egypt. I mean, all this stuff, just over and over and over, we're toppling all of these governments and leaving these people hell holes when we leave. Not to say they were so great to start with, but they were better than they are now. Egypt was one of the most prosperous countries, and so was Libya and Africa. Now look at the mess they're in. They're in full-blown nightmare now. Who in the world wants to live in those hell holes? And now they opened up Europe for all those weirdos from those places to come in there now after they terrorized them with all those bombings and drone strikes to come into the United States and come into Europe now as quote-unquote refugees for what? To cause more terrorism in the United States. The whole thing's complete nonsense, Austin.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, Libya, they put in a Rothschild bank in there while the country was still at war. That was one of the primary reasons, if I'm not mistaken, if you start doing the research, it happened right before a lot of the stuff in Benghazi happened, when they finally got a Federal Reserve-owned bank owned by the Rothschild in Libya. So, again, it's more obfuscation. That's why they won Gaddafi out of there. Always look at the back end, guys. I mean, there's one other thing I wanted to bring up here, too. Is I keep hearing all about these cardless ATMs now, where you basically go on your phone. They're at over 2,000 ATMs now in the United States, and at least 28 different bank systems have them, and they're rapidly expanding. Please understand, guys, the more you support this stuff, this cashless society, this cardless ATM, pay with your phone, pay with all this stuff where you walk up and you scan your phone, the more you support this, guys, the more you're supporting the cashless society, and the more power you're giving these guys to slowly dissolve our currency. They've already talked about getting rid of the $100 bill now, even the $50 bill. That's where this is headed. Make sure you guys constantly at least try to use some cash. Don't just live completely off debit cards and credit cards. Try and keep the cash society going, because as long as there's still some sort of aggressive demand for cash, they will have an extremely difficult time phasing it out effectively if people still have a massive demand for it. So do me a favor on that.
Well, awesome, man. The show's over. What a fast hour, son. Again, thank you for supporting HealthMasters.com. Sign up for our free newsletter. Go to the HealthMasters website right now. We've just posted a video, a little 30-second video of me cleaning out my distillation system, showing you what builds up in your arteries and your soft tissues and your joints if you don't distill your water. You'll be shocked what comes out of the water. If I had not filtered that out of my water, distilled it, all that poison and all those chemicals and all of that calcium carbonate and concrete basically would have been in my arteries. Go to healthmasters.com. You can see it. It's embedded on the website. A little 30-second video. You can watch it. Sign up for the free newsletter and give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. We love you guys. We appreciate you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Austin, go ahead and close.
We appreciate it, guys. If you need anything, give us a call. Have a blessed night. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded.